live from the WGY studios every Sunday. This is the Paul Potrat Show.
Stop spraying and praying. You're wasting money.
Millennials aren't lazy. It's how you lead them.
When you sell by price, you die by price.
The Paul Potrat Show, helping your business grow and stay relevant.
Covering the latest technology for business, leadership trends, and changing your mindset on marketing.
Now, your hosts, Paul Potratz, the business architect, and Samantha Zewalinski, the millennial entrepreneur.
Good morning, Paul. I should call you Dancing Queen over there, jamming out to our intro.
I know, and I've heard back from a couple people that they don't like our intro. And I feel like it's very loungy. Like I need to have my dinner jacket on, my well, smoking jacket.
At least you heard some feedback.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't even smoke, but I need a smoking jacket. So there you go. All right. So, Samantha, I want to say I'm sorry.
I apologize.
Let me see if I can do it. Oh, boy, bless your heart. You ready? Happy birthday to you. All right, I won't sing.
I feel bad for everybody listening.
Yeah, no kidding.
Neither of us should sing ever.
I know. And I should have called you yesterday. And actually... Yeah, I should have called you yesterday. Sorry.
Well, thank you.
Yep. Happy birthday. So, how old are you now?
28.
You weren't supposed to say. You were supposed to leave that out. Sheesh. And that was rude of me to ask, but I thought for sure you'd come back with some snazzy comment about that. So, are you ready to keep me organized today?
I am. I have our topics for today's show, so let's jump right into it.
No, it's not.
Okay.
All right. So, I think what I think is really important is Facebook and seeing your outfit, your flowery skirt dress. So yes, I think that's important. So, and did you take any pictures of your feet?
I tried not to, no.
Okay. All right. Good.
So we talked about that last.
Well, I'll talk about feet here in a little while. I'm just going to kind of keep you on the edge of your seat when I'm talking about with feet. So, okay. So feet.
Yay.
Feet
not.
Pictures. No, I'm telling you, feet pictures are important. I mean, if you're taking pictures of your feet, it's going to increase your followers.
Is this just because you want people to look at your shoe game on Facebook? Is this what we're leading to?
Well, no. I definitely want people to see my feet because I don't do the pedicures thing.
All right. Well, I'll let you tell me what that's about later.
Yeah, but shoe game, yeah, definitely, yeah. You know, and I do have what on today?
Boots.
I always wear boots.
You're a boot man.
I am, yeah. Not cowboy boots. Okay. All right. Sorry. Squirrel. So there you go.
All right. Well, so today we're going to talk about Instagram's milestone and what it means for your business and our social game, how we should dress for the job you want, not the job you have, some fashion advice from the one and only Paul Potratz, and email signatures, one missing step that can make a big difference in your game.
Exactly. And, you know, what was it? It was just a couple weeks ago, or maybe it was a week ago, I think is what it was. I forget that I said, ooh, check out how many Instagram followers I have. So I've been working my Instagram game. Where am I at now?
40,500?
Yep.
If I see it correctly.
So going up. But this is what I've been working on is the Instagram Live, the videos. And so I posted a picture that says warning graphic violence. So it's showing dogs and graphic violence. You know, those videos that you don't want to watch, but mm-hmm. you do watch.
So everybody clicks on, even though they're like a little squeamish, maybe.
Yes, exactly. So it's on my Instagram. And I posted it not just on Instagram Live, mm-hmm. but also Instagram. And the views are in the hundreds.
What was it?
All right.
So. Are you just going to make everybody go over to Instagram to find out?
Yeah, I mean, it's...
Paul Potratz on Instagram?
Yeah, it's graphic. I mean, it's graphic, so I don't think I can really say it on the radio.
But it has to do with your dogs.
It is. It's my two dogs. I have two cane corsos, which are Italian mastiffs, mm-hmm. and one is 8 months old and one is 3 months old, and I had no idea that they were such a vicious dog.
Okay, so proceed with caution.
Yes.
But that kind of brings us into how we're talking about Instagram today and how you've worked on your Insta game.
Yes, my Insta game.
And... what should we do as a business? What should we focus on as managers, as people looking to grow and build our brand?
Squirrel.
What milestone did Instagram hit?
Squirrel. Okay, sorry. When I said they're vicious dogs, I don't really mean they're vicious dogs. They just ate their stuffed animal, okay? I just wanted to clarify that. I want people to think the dogs
Spoiler alert.
I know. Okay. So there's a couple things that's happening with Instagram. So Instagram was it just like... 3 months ago, 700 million monthly active users, 700 million, Let that sink in for a second. That was just a few months ago.
And you said only.
Yeah, only. Yeah, for real. And now they've approached 800 million is what where they're at. But what's really happening is Instagram stories. So mm-hmm. a story is the little icons at the top where you can do a 15-second video, as many as you want. And they are crushing Snapchat with 250 million daily active users. So you kind of think about that. So you have 800 million users, but then you have 250 million that are watching those short little video clips. And there was an article recently, too, this last week, that ad agencies are talking about, hey, this is making it really hard. It's only 15 seconds long, so it's hard to really tell a story. And I'm like, get over yourself, ad agencies. I mean, we figured it out. We don't have to do it in 30 seconds.
I'm pretty sure if all these bloggers can make a pretty good paycheck using social media, an ad agency can figure it out.
Yeah, you
but
would think.
You
yeah.
never know.
Yeah, so, and you kind of think about that. And here it is. I'm going again. Squirrel. What's the guy's name on YouTube? Was it PewDiePie?
Sure.
I think he's the number one YouTuber, one of the top YouTubers. You know how much he makes a day off of creating his videos?
Oh, crazy money.
$37,000 a day.
Yeah. Shows you what his game's like.
Yeah, no kidding. So, and yes, he's got a crazy amount of followers.
And you mentioned, you know, it's kind of taking viewership away from Snapchat. So that's one big thing that happened. But also, you know, the adaptation of what Snapchat's trying to do to bring people back is they recently copied Instagram stories with the ability to use links.
Yeah. And so everybody's chasing everybody. And, you know, what you have to realize with the Instagram stories and with Instagram, that is your TV game working as well? And I mean, and I'm not saying get on Instagram and do a TV commercial, because that's not the way it works. But and you can kind of look at how my followers are growing. And I mean, and, you know, I'm a business owner. I'm not even having that much time to work it, but I'm growing it and growing it. So I think this is critically important with Instagram. You got to get in the Instagram game, but let's talk about pictures. I mean, what do you want to do? I mean, what are some good tidbits of information if you're going to use Instagram as a business owner, or, and not just a business owner, I mean,
as a brand, as an individual,
somebody that's looking to find another job. I mean, can mm-hmm. you use Instagram if you're looking to find another job?
Definitely. I mean, social profiles are something that businesses look at as well when they're looking to interview and hire new employees.
So
build your brand on that platform too.
Yeah. So, I mean, just think about that. Let's say that, you know, you're working for a company, you feel like you want to move on, you want to try something new. And I don't think a lot of times people don't think about this, but get your social media game in play. And now there's two candidates that are there. You're one candidate mm-hmm. and there's another candidate in place. And, you know, never for a second don't think that companies are not looking at your social media game. And if you've blocked them and you're not on social media, your chances go down. But and if you've done anything stupid, your chances go down. But if you're actually there, and you're working it.
You're active.
You're active. You have a personality. You're engaging. You're interesting. You're learning new things. You're pushing yourself. You have interest. You have hobbies. The chances of you getting the job are going to be much higher than that individual that's not in social media. I mean, and it's as simple as that. And so let me give you an example really quick, okay? So my example is, let's say that you go into a client meeting. That you go into a client okay. meeting, do you look around their office and try to find commonalities of interest? You know,
of
like
course,
hobbies?
You need to break the ice. You need to fill the void of the conversation with something. So the easiest way to do that is try and be observant about your surroundings.
Yeah. And so you kind of think about that. You can do the same thing with Instagram, with Facebook, is have a lot of different interests. If you like to ski, pictures. Mm-hmm. If you do marathons, pictures. If you do cars are your thing, clothes are your thing, whatever it is, get serious about it.
And also, I mean, I think another thing too is like we were talking about personal development the other day and what you're doing to further yourself in your career. If you're showing that you're active on social media, if you're showing that you're experiencing all of these different things or taking in all of this additional information, then you're showing like you're paying attention to what's important in business these days.
Right.
As yeah. yourself. And if you can do it yourself, then you're establishing confidence in your employer that you're going to be able to do it for them, depending on what that role or responsibility is you're going to hold within a company.
Yeah. And I mean, and you just look well-rounded. Mm-hmm. You look prepared and everything else. But I mean, as a business owner, you think about, you know, using Instagram as a marketing tool is a strategy. And a lot of times we want to go for the sale. We want to go for the kill. You know, it's like, oh, let's club them like a baby seal, mm-hmm. you know, whatever your thing is, you know, always going for the sale. What's the next low hanging fruit? But when you run a TV commercial, a radio commercial, a newspaper ad, or a direct mail, how often and how easy is it for someone to share that advertisement that you have?
Not so much.
Yeah, not so much. I mean, especially if it's a TV commercial, they can talk about it, mm-hmm. but chances are they're not, because it's all about a sales pitch. The same thing with a radio commercial. But if you do an Instagram post or an Instagram, you know, anything with Instagram, they can share that. And that's what you want to encourage, is sharing of what you're doing.
Or tagging people.
Yes.
They can tag people. I see that all the time. Like, we're, you know, just came back from vacation, so my one friend was tagging me and stuff all the time for new Instagram pages that she followed about menus and things like that. You know, we had this laundry list of places to go before we ever left because we could tag each other.
Yeah. So if you think about that, think about how you're a company and you want to find new hires. Mm-hmm. Then you can do the post, you can do the picture. I mean, you have to get creative, mm-hmm. and you can do it Instagram Live. You can also do it in an Instagram post. But I've seen this happen many a times, that an individual would see it and then they would tag someone, letting them know, hey, this company's hiring, mm-hmm. or hey, this company's selling this product, or this company is offering this free downloadable, you know, white paper, research paper, whatever it might be. I see that all the time, that people will tag, and not just on Instagram, but I see it on Facebook too.
Definitely. I mean, it's like a give and an ask, right? So are you familiar with that? A give and an ask. So mm-hmm. if you give something and then you make an ask, you're going to get more because you've provided value in one way, shape, or form. And that ask can be subliminal on a platform like Instagram, because if you're giving them a piece of content, like putting out there that you're hiring and they know people that are hiring, that ask essentially is to share it. You can say it point blank if you need to increase that interaction, or you can let that be the subliminal ask of your content.
Right. So let's talk about that, because so many times what we hear from business owners, they're saying, what exactly do I post and how often do I post? So we're really bringing it down to the basics. So what should they post?
What they should post is everything and anything that mm-hmm. makes sense for your business. So think about your brand and your story, and then make sure that it's kind of aligning with that. So you don't want to go out in left field and post this really random thing, because it's not going to align with your audience that's engaging with you. But you want to talk about your stories, your products. You want to also utilize influencers. And I think that's a big thing as businesses. We should let other people tell our stories and talk about our products, specifically on social media.
So let's talk about some companies. I'm going to talk about some companies that I follow really quick, mm-hmm. and that I think that they do a pretty good game.
Okay.
And this is a very simple company. Are you ready for this one? It's going to surprise you.
Okay.
Muck Boots.
Okay.
M-U-C-K Boots. So Muck Boots, I feel like, does a really good job. And that's what they do post, where they have really cool photography, but then they have individuals that are doing photography, you know, taking mm-hmm. pictures of their muck
boots. And
they're
featuring them.
And then they're following them, they're featuring them, they're promoting it, they're doing all of the... So Muck Boots does a really good company. So your turn. What's a company that does a good job?
Ooh, that's a good question. I follow a lot of bloggers, actually. That's probably in regards to what I like to follow. And I think they do a really good job, because I'm probably a shopaholic. I think mm-hmm. I probably should go to Shopaholics Anonymous. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But I like to see and feel the products, and I like to see them and feel them in other people. So again, they are being influencers for other brands, and then I'm following those brands because they've been the voice behind them.
There you go. Talking about that, there's this one individual, and he lives in San Francisco, and he works for Brooks Brothers. Mm-hmm. He's a store manager. I don't know this guy, but I know this guy socially. But he's a store manager at Brooks Brothers in San Francisco. And what he does is he will put outfits together, mm-hmm. you know, different ties and shirts and blazers and pants and everything else, and shoes. And he will post pictures. And I find myself going and searching for him often. To yep. see what kind of outfits he puts together. And every once in a while, I see a pretty cool outfit. And I think, you know, clothing companies miss that a lot of times, that they just don't seem to do that. And I think that's why you follow bloggers, because they're putting outfits together and
exactly.
you're seeing what it looks like.
It gives that tangibility to online shopping.
Yeah.
But it's like not the size 2 model that they put on their website, to be honest.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what this guy, I mean, that's kind of, you know, he'll lay the outfits together. And then a lot of times he's wearing an outfit, and I'm like, oh, I kind of like that. So I think Muck Boots does a really good job. Makes you feel very outdoorsy. It makes you feel like, oh, I could live that lifestyle. I could be a sheep farmer.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm going to do when I retire.
Really?
Yes, I'm going to be a sheep farmer.
Are you going to get, I was going to say goats. Are you, little pygmy goats? Have you seen those? They're like the little small baby goats.
No, I'm going to be
talk
a sheep farmer.
Talk about a squirrel, now goats.
Yeah, no, sheep.
A sheep. I get you. I know, but I was at a farm the other day and they had gorgeous goats. I'm not getting any of those, so don't get any ideas. No birthday presents, please.
All right. Yeah, I already have my boots picked out to be a sheep farmer, though.
Doesn't surprise me. Paul Potratz in fashion.
There you go. So there you go.
So we've kind of mentioned quickly, though, posting and how often a business should do it and what approach they should take to it. So how often should you post? I think that's a big question that a lot of people don't understand.
Instagram Live, I need to increase my game. So here's another company to follow. Oh, not a company, but an individual. Me. Mm-hmm. Follow me. Me, me. I'm 40,500. The goal is to be at 45,000 within the month. So there you go. All right, so follow me.
Help Paul reach his goal.
Yeah, help me reach my goal, please. So anyway, Instagram Live with the stories, just make it part of your day. And I keep on saying that to myself, make it part of your day, your coffee in the morning. Like I seen your post yesterday morning, you had the coffee cup sitting on the coffee machine and... Yeah.
It just needs to be second nature, and it's really uncomfortable because you don't feel like it's part of what you should be doing. I know that's my problem, is I have to let myself get out of my comfort zone to do it, but use the people around you too. And this is another thing I think that is kind of a little trick. So I'm Instagramming you right now because we're having a conversation instead of putting it on myself, but it's following along with the type of content that I curate for my audience.
Yeah. I mean, so just think about your daily activity and what you're doing. I mean, like, you know, I've Instagram Live you a little while ago, your outfit, you know, just whatever. I mean, just do it. You know, your backyard, your dog, your kids, you know, things that you see in your eyes that you're like, oh, that's pretty. That's interesting. That's cool. You know, just anything you see that makes you stop for a second and just
engage.
Take a second look.
Make a question, write a comment. People can chat you back. And the other thing as a business is you can do links. So if you are an individual that represents your own brand that you're trying to put out there and get people over to a website or to follow additional content, or you're a business that's talking about products and you want people to link over to that product page, you can set yourself up as a business profile, which is going to be what you want to make sure you do. You just go to your settings, set this up. We talked about this in a previous episode, and what you'll be able to do then is get analytics, but the benefit will be is you can link people over to content. So where we talked before, get people off Snapchat. Snapchat tried to up their competition by getting on the same bandwagon and being able to link from Snapchat to a website. Well, Instagram Stories has had this. Pick a platform, conquer that platform, Facebook, Instagram, and link over to that specific content you're talking about or you're showing. And that's going to help increase traffic to your website, to your affiliates, so on and so forth.
Yeah. And I mean, and it's fun to tell a story. I mean, you can do video, you can tell a story, you can put comments in there. Just have fun with it. Just find some people, see what they're doing, me. And did I tell everybody to be sure and follow me on Instagram?
I don't think I heard that before.
Okay.
You may tell me again. Who are you?
No. Yeah. It's Paul. Last name's Potratz. It's Potratz with a Z. Really easy. Don't think it's portraits. It's not. And Instagram and Facebook. So there you go.
Okay.
So, yeah. I'm trying to up my game. So.
What are people going to find when they follow you?
Boots.
Okay, so I think this really leads into our other topic. I think, you know, your second job is like Paul Potratz Fashionista. Is that an appropriate title for a man?
Works for me.
Why not, right?
Yeah, it works.
So we always talk about how people dress and how that represents their brand, their image. Instagram is a fabulous example of where you can continue that conversation. But we, for a leadership topic, we wanted to talk about dressing for the job you want, not the job you have. I think you do that.
Well, it's a touchy subject too, because some people get really upset when you tell them, hey, come on, up your dress game and everything. And they get upset. And it's, you know, it's not for everybody. Let's just put it that way. I'm just going to put that out there and say it's not for everyone. And I think the reason that it's not, because I remember, you know, growing up in high school, I decided one day to wear a suit.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to school and people were like, oh, my gosh. So I was calling all of this attention to me. And in fact, I had people making fun of me is what was going and what happened. But I just know mentally I felt better. I got up. I got dressed. I put on something, you know, I put on my suit and I just felt better. And that was
that's why they call them power suits, right?
Yeah. And that was in ninth grade.
Mm-hmm.
And And then so it went from, you know, wearing a suit once a month to twice a month to once a week to when my last year I was wearing a suit every day. I would go out partying on the weekends. I was in a suit, and that was just what I did. Mm-hmm. And part of the reason was is I was in sales, and I needed to try to present myself as a more mature, older young man. Mm-hmm. So it was getting the suit. And I couldn't afford suits. So what I would do is I knew people at the Goodwill, and they knew me by a first name basis, and I would go in for the 2-for-1. But I had a lot of suits and a lot of dead man shoes.
Got to do what you got to do.
Yeah. And so dead man shoes, you know what that is, right?
I do.
Okay, good.
They came from the morgue.
No, they didn't. Yeah,
you know. It sounds better, though. It's much more interesting when you say it that way.
Yeah, exactly. So no, I think it is important. I mean, because, you know, shallow as it may be, but we do judge a book by its cover. And, you know, because you can definitely, some people in history, you know, look at individuals that are very influential, very successful, and they dress like slobs, but they're billionaires, millionaires.
But I also think it means, like, know what your brand is and decide what it's going to be and then embrace it completely. So yeah. If you're just going to be, and I'm going to say something probably controversial, but if you're going to be a slob, like, that's not a decision. That's kind of just, like, being lazy. I'm going to go ahead and put that out there.
Yep.
But if you want your style to be t-shirts and jeans and sneakers, and that's who you are in all facets of life, that's your brand. So it doesn't necessarily correlate to the comment of dress for the job you want, not the job you have, but it means you're really establishing a brand for yourself that's going to be communicated in every aspect.
Right. But then understand what you're wanting to go for, because if you're wearing t-shirts and shorts and, you know, whatever, your Vans or your Converse mm-hmm. or whatever, chances are you're not going to impress, you know, the CEO of some financial trading, you know, or wealth management company.
Well, I mean, there's always times where we need to leave our brand and embody the environment we're going into. I think that people are opening their mindset to not necessarily being as much of judging a book by its cover. We definitely still do it, yep. But I think not limiting somebody's intelligence or value based on how they present themselves in the form of dress and attire, but it does make a difference. It does impact initial perception, and then you have to overcome another hurdle.
Yeah, but it can also impact it in a different way too, because I remember I went to see a client one time, this was years ago, and I was wearing a suit, and the client said that I was disrespecting her by dressing the way I was, that I was like trying to, you know, I guess upstage her or whatever, and that was not my intention. Mm-hmm. I'm just comfortable wearing a tie. When I don't wear a tie, I feel uncomfortable.
Yeah. And I think you just have to be comfortable in what you do, what you wear, because people are always going to have something to say.
Yeah.
You know, whether you're underdressed or overdressed, you know, I've gone to clients and somebody commented last week, actually, or 2 weeks ago, and they said, "What are you going to church? You look so nice." And I'm like, "This is what I wear."
Yep. So there you go. So basically, Samantha, my takeaway is whatever your perspective is, just get comfortable doing what you're doing and know that if you're going for that new career, that new job, understand who the decision maker is, because you have to dress to impress. And so you can say dress for success, but you have to dress to impress, because that's going to make a big, big difference whether you get the job or you don't. And then here's another tidbit. Are you ready?
Go for it.
Okay. I don't know if I mentioned this yet, but if you follow me on Instagram, I do post pictures of outfits. So maybe you can get some fashion ideas, or you can say, "Oh my gosh, what is he wearing?"
Coming back for free advice.
Yes, yes, exactly. You know, it's so funny though. Real quick, I know we got to wrap this up though. So Corey, you know Corey.
Mm-hmm.
And so Corey Mosley, he texted me last night and he goes, "Hey, can we do a FaceTime live?" And I'm like, "Yeah, why?" And so he goes on FaceTime Live, and he's flying out to California tomorrow, and he said, mm-hmm. "Help me pick out my outfit." And so he had this suit, and then he goes to the drawer, and he's scanning all the ties on Facebook Live, and I said, "Try that tie, that tie." Mm-hmm. So I picked out his, you know, he had a suit. I picked out his shirt, put a nice pink shirt with it. I picked out his tie. I picked out his pocket square, and I even picked out the lapel flower that he had.
Awesome.
So I have my lapel flower. Oh, my God. I forgot my lapel. I feel naked. That's it. I'm going home.
The show's over. We're done for the day.
Done.
Paul won't be able to continue.
Oh, I'm so messed up now.
Well, I guess that's a good opportunity to say, if you forget something in your outfit, what leaves you feel like you're naked and not being able to continue in everything else you do. Your lapel flower is one of your signatures. But we can continue this conversation off air and online at the Paul Potratz Facebook page. Tell us what you think about today's conversation in regards to how you can use Instagram and how you can be your brand through the clothes you wear and the things you put out there on social media. We'd love to hear from you. We're going to take a quick break in a moment and be back for the Business Breakdown. Stay tuned for local news.
It's time for the Business Breakdown.
The 7-minute on-air consultation for you.
Call now for your free business consultation with Paul and Samantha. 1-855-POTRATS.
That's 1-855-768-7289.
Now, let's break it down.
We have our first caller for the Business Breakdown, Allison, on the line with us. Welcome, Allison, to the Paul Potratz Show.
Hi, good morning. Thank you.
Good morning. Let us know what your company is and then what your question for Paul is.
Absolutely. I am the director of marketing at DWM Facilities Maintenance, and we provide facilities and construction and renovation services to some of the biggest brands in the country. And my question for Paul and his team is, how do I make sure that our website stays at the top of Google search results? I know they're always changing the rules to their little game, so to say, and it's hard to know what to focus on when working on SEO for our website.
Okay. Hi, Allison. Thanks for calling.
All right. Thank you.
So really simple. Let me ask this question, and this is going to be a hard question for you to answer, chances are, because you're spending time and effort on it. Out of doing the SEO game, in other words, having an SEO strategy, how many times have you received really a lead or a sale from that?
Last year, we had about 7 or 8 leads come through Google in terms of search results, ranking in the search results, and then also direct contact to us through the form on our website.
Okay. So last year you had 7 or 8, let's just say leads, you had 7 or 8 leads that came as a direct result of doing search engine optimization.
I'd say so, yes.
Okay. So if you only receive 7 or 8 results off of that, my next question is, are you paying a company to do SEO or are you doing SEO yourself?
We're doing it in-house.
Okay. So how many hours a month are you spending on SEO and how many people are doing it?
There's one person doing it and not as many hours as I would like. I would say, honestly, I update the website weekly with news, but in terms of updating the SEO and keywords, that maybe is an hour a month.
Okay. All right. So because a lot of times companies are so focused on SEO that they're doing search engine optimization and they're spending money, they're paying companies to do the SEO, that it does not, the ROI is not there. It doesn't equal the payoff because there's something crazy called the Google algorithm. And Google algorithm 3 years ago used to change that algorithm every 17 and a half hours. So you think about that. So, and the reason they're doing that is because people learn how to beat the system. And what Google really wants you to do, let's just be honest here, is they want you to spend money on search advertising, display advertising. They don't want you to be able to beat the system and get something for free. I mean, and that's really what's going on. And then with SEO, I think it's very important that individuals understand how SEO really works. So, for example, if I was, you know, sitting with my computer and I'm doing a search and you're sitting at your computer and doing a search, but we search the exact same thing at the exact same time. In other words, we decide what we're going to search for. I am going to get a different result than you are. And I'm not talking about paid search. I'm talking about search engine optimization, the free ranking. Because search engine optimization is based on our own individual behavior. It's based on our what we've searched for, what we've downloaded, the emails we send, we receive, our credit score, our income. It's based on our own individual profile. So here's the question that really begs. Is does it make sense to spend any time on SEO? And the answer is no. And it's as simple as that.
Really? So, never actually heard that answer.
Exactly. And people fight me on this. So what I'm getting ready to say, though, now here we go. So what I'm saying that you do is SEO is an afterthought, an after product. What you want to do is focus on the individuals that are coming to your website, the individuals that are coming to your website and doing business with you. And you, so you want to focus on developing content for them. Make the website built for the person, the reader, the individual that's going to spend money with you. Because a lot of times we try to do SEO and we're trying to build content for the search engines, for the algorithm that's going to crawl, and it makes no sense whatsoever.
I heard you mention the word keywords. That's really the old mentality behind SEO, is how many keywords can I put in my content? Because the more keywords I have, the more keywords I have in white on a website. You know, you see if you select it with your mouse and it becomes black and you can see all of these extra keywords. That's like 10 years ago SEO. That doesn't exist anymore. That's actually fraudulent advertising in the eyes of Google as well. So really think about the content for the individual, who your end game is.
So when you say that, when I say keywords, I'm talking, you know, kind of the buzzwords in the industry, mm-hmm. and I try right. and include those. Is that what you're referring to as well?
Well, what people will do is they'll try to, what we call keyword stuffing. They'll go in there and they're like, okay, let's make sure that we put, you know, the areas we serve. Let's make sure that we, you know, what is the products that we, you know, the services or the products that we provide. So they're keyword stuffing. Instead, what I'm saying is start writing content the way that you would talk to someone, talking about the benefit, because the focus that you want to do is how long is someone spending on your website, how many leads are you getting, how many phone calls are you getting. But just make sure you're creating really good content, because you know, that's who you're marketing to. That's who's going to pay the bills. And then what will happen, I mean, granted, yes, go ahead and make sure that you're doing the proper steps of what, you know, is supposedly is SEO.
So I want to say something that may contradict you here, but I think it's important that you do have a process when you're creating this content and uploading it on your website. So if you have images, make sure that you're changing the names of those images.
Yes.
Make sure you're putting page titles on your page. Make sure you do have a description. Those are going to be things that are just process-based. They're going to default, so you might as well customize them versus actually spending a lot of time developing an SEO and implementing a full SEO strategy.
All right,
yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Sorry.
In the same topic, so the metadata is kind of out of date. That doesn't really do anything, or is that something you kind of should do?
A meta description. You should mm-hmm. do a meta description, you know, and it only takes you 30 seconds to do the actual keyword. So put the meta keywords in there. That's fine. The meta tags is what it's called. You can go ahead and put those in there. Just don't keyword stuff them, you know. 8 to 10, you're done. But put a description, because that's what the search engine's going to crawl. But the one thing that I would look at is I would really dive into finding out about AMP pages, AMP, and seeing what you have to do on your website to do that. And Samantha's smiling. She must know something I don't.
There's a couple articles about the quality and clarity behind AMP pages, but mobile friendly. The point behind that is looking at making sure your pages are mobile friendly and they're working on devices of all types. We'll talk about AMP pages another day.
Yeah.
But thank you, Allison, for your question. That's all the time we have for the business breakdown. If you have more questions on SEO, do visit our website, paulpotratz.com. We'd be happy to continue the conversation off the air.
Perfect. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
So if you have a question about SEO or another marketing initiative, great. Give us a call at the Business Breakdown. But if you're looking for help in your career, leadership, management, or just looking to ask some questions about how you can grow, give us a call for the Business Breakdown. You can reach us at 855-POTRATZ. That's 855-POTRATZ. And we'll be happy to take your call. Don't forget, if you call during the week, leave a voicemail and we'd be happy to feature you on an upcoming episode on air. So we on the line for our second caller have Adam. Adam, thanks for calling the Paul Potrat Show and being featured in the Business Breakdown.
Sure, no problem. Thanks for having me.
Give us a little bit of information about your company and what your question is for Paul this morning.
Sure. Well, I'm a small marketing firm, full service, partnering with a bunch of local talent around the area. You know, we can do everything that the bigger agencies can do for a much smaller cost. And basically my question is, being a small kind of startup, I've been in business for about 3 years now. And the only way I see myself growing to be something bigger is having a real solid, salesperson or sales team, to help me kind of push to the next level. And being a small company, I don't really have, the capability to offer all the benefits that the larger companies do, as well as really a base pay. So I'm really commission based. So I guess, how would you guys recommend going about finding that right hire to help grow a small business like myself?
Okay. Hi, Adam. So talking about that, let me kind of back up, and I'm going to tell you a story. So here we go. When I started the advertising agency, coming from the agency world, I followed the same business model as other ad agencies, because the ad agencies that I worked for, what they would do, they would have an entire floor of salespeople, new business development people, and that's what they did. The new business development people had days that they would get on the phone, they would pound the phone, and then they had days that they were out and they were meeting people, And I mean, you know, the accounts that, you know, we were working on was like Subway and McDonald's, Sea Ray Boats. So a lot of, you know, tier two, tier one companies with really large budgets. It took a tremendous amount of time for them to build the relationship. And there was a tremendous amount of turnover. It was like the 80-20 rule. So 20, you know, that 20% of the team was generating 80% of the revenue. So when I started the agency, what I did is I put up four computers and these individuals sat in front of the computers and they would, you know, call businesses, they would cold call. I followed the same process. You know what the problem was?
What was it?
It failed miserably. And so as time passed on, I started to realize, what did I need to do? Because I was competing against these companies, and why were these companies winning and I was losing? And the simple thing was, there was a trust factor, there was a relationship is what it was. So I realized I had to build that trust factor. And then that's where I started our, you know, it's a video podcast years ago called Think Tank Tuesday. So Think Tank Tuesday went out every Tuesday, and it was just where I was sharing information, telling business owners how to be successful. I was telling them how to do retargeting, how to do email marketing, how to do subject rights, you know, subject lines, on and on. So my goal was to really show them that there was more opportunities. And I mean, this is when digital marketing was really coming into a thing. So I had to really explain to them how it was going to help them grow their business. So my recommendation is not to hire salespeople, because A, it's going to take revenue. And the thing is, if you're bringing someone in, how long is it going to take before they can close the sale? Chances are a really long time. So my strategy to you would be to start developing content, start building your email database, start building your social media following, not just on Facebook, but Facebook and Instagram and LinkedIn. LinkedIn's a very powerful tool, and you know, no one's going to sell it like you. So that's would be my recommendation to you. Build the database, build the following, build your authority, build the trust, make a lot of noise. And that's where you're going to make more money and you're going to have long-term clients. Then you can focus your energy on getting really good account managers versus trying to get salespeople. So that would be my advice. And I know that sounds overwhelming, but it's a lot easier than trying to manage salespeople.
And then the other thing with that too is, once you get those clients well managed, great account managers in there, you want to ask for the referral through your existing clientele, because through the customer service and experience they've had with you, that's going to feed your business as well, where you don't need that outbound salesperson.
Right. And the
right. I mean, that's predominantly how a lot of my clients have come to me now, is all based on referral, then doing a good job for that previous client, and then they spread the word.
Yeah. And that should be 70%. Of your new business is referrals from existing clients. So you think about that. Hiring a sales team, is it worth driving 30% of the revenue? What would it cost you to hire the salesperson, and how much time are you going to spend on salespeople? Granted, you might come across somebody that might make a good salesperson, but those are few and far between, and your time is better spent on developing great quality content and attracting people to you versus trying to sell them on your product, sell them on your service, sell them on your agency, to let them come to you and ask you the questions.
And then you can have the team members internally who can assist you in the proposal process, in the typically referred to as sales process, but in that acquisition to being a client. So you can have team members support you there instead of that outbound model.
Right.
Yeah. So that would be the direction I would go, because I've been there, done it, and I know some companies are very successful at it, but those companies that have a sales staff, generally, they have deep pockets. And when I was starting my ad agency, I did not have deep pockets. I had like $3,500 to, you know, either make it or break it.
And I think about how you're shaping your story. When you kind of started talking to us, you mentioned what you believe your competitive advantage is in a really brief comment, but also by being the individual behind that and creating that content, it's going to show that that's authentic and bring more inbound leads for you as well.
Yeah, right. And realize it's not going to happen overnight. It's going to take time. It's going to take dedication, and you're going to have to focus on it a lot. But it's the same thing. If you hire salespeople, you know, what are the salespeople going to talk about? Are they going to go out and sell on price? And if they're selling on price, you're just going to cheapen your product and cheapen your service is what you're going to do. And then
yeah, definitely want to do that.
Yeah. So. And that's generally what salespeople do. And so I would say start developing content. That will build the relationships and the trust.
All right. All about content and relationships.
It is.
All right. Thank you, Adam, for your call. We're out of time for your segment, but if you have other questions, give us a shout at paulpochatz.com. We'd be happy to continue the conversation. But thanks for your call this morning.
All right. Perfect. Thanks so much.
So we had two great callers this morning, one talking about SEO and one talking about growing their business. If you have questions for the Business Breakdown and Paul in an upcoming episode, give us a call at 855-POCHATS, where we'll take your call on air, or leave us a voicemail. Also, shoot us an email or talk to us on Facebook on the Paul Pochatz page, where we'll be continuing our conversation offline throughout the week.
All right. Squirrel. Are you ready for this, Sam?
Yeah.
So before we take the next caller, I want to talk about SEO just real quick, where Allison called in and she was saying about SEO. Because I think the important point that I was trying to make, and just to clarify it, is start writing content for the person that you're going to sell. Don't focus on the, oh, I need to do SEO. Instead, oh, I need to create good content that someone's going to engage with and see the value in what I'm offering.
Yeah, don't worry about making sure all those keywords are in there, because you're probably going to focus on that and lose sight of the actual premise behind whatever you're putting out there.
Yeah, the content's not going to be as good as it could be or should be. That the old school way, like you said, the old school way was to keyword stuff and to write content for the search engines, but we need to write content for human beings.
I used to do that. That was like one of my first jobs in marketing.
I used to do that too. I mean,
I would keyword stuff Craigslist ads.
And I would keyword stuff YouTube videos. And, you know, because I would get so excited. You know, you would search for something and, you know, almost the entire page was all of these videos for our client. And that was part of the services we offered. But, I mean, as you know, we don't even offer SEO. We don't even charge for SEO.
But we do create content.
We do create a ton of content. But, and we have, you know, business owners that call us and go, do you do SEO? And we're like, no. And then we try to explain to them, you don't need SEO. You need content for human beings that are going to do business with you. And SEO companies don't understand that.
And it's fair to say we break the mold on being a business that has that standpoint.
Yeah, this is true. Yeah.
So go ahead and Google it, research it, whatever you want to do. But we'll just be the ones to say it, that this is a perspective that we hold as an agency, but we have found it successful for the content development that we create for our clients, our strategies, our emails, our campaigns, you name it.
Yeah. And not to be cocky, not to be bold, but I mean, to be honest, because I can prove it in black and white, as you know, our conversion is higher than just about anybody. Anytime someone comes to us and we look at the conversion, because we measure that, we have a higher conversion yet to this day since we've been in business. Have we ever seen somebody that was converting at a higher pace? So,
no.
So I think that's just very important to understand that write for the person, don't write for SEO. So, all right. I think we kept our other caller on hold long enough.
So we have our third Business Breakdown caller on the line. James, good morning. How are you?
Hi, good morning, Samantha. I'm doing well, thanks. How are you guys?
Good. Thanks for calling into the Business Breakdown. Let us know a little bit about your company and what your question is for Paul this morning.
Yeah. So I work for Merriam Insurance right in Schenectady, and we do home and auto insurance and insurance for small businesses and then some other specialty businesses. Like, we insure like homeless shelters and malpractice for title agents. So my question is something I get asked a lot when trying to be a proponent of social media is, well, how are we going to measure our ROI for social media? Because we put money and resources into it, but how do we know that people, we haven't seen anyone come in as a new client, and so we have no revenue to show for the money we've invested in social media marketing. So what should I base my ROI on?
Okay. James, good morning. And I love that you're a bundle of energy, buddy. That's
thank you.
You've got a radio voice, so there you go. All right, so here's a really quick question. You have salespeople that are out on the street, and then they go to chamber mixers and they go to all those various functions, right?
Yes, absolutely.
And then what is the ROI on those? And I mean, you don't necessarily have to answer it, but how do you measure the ROI on your sales staff?
Well, we sort of see what revenue they bring in each month.
Okay.
And we try to track where that came from, and a lot of revenue does come from people that you've networked with. But I will say, in fairness, that a lot of times there's a lot of time and effort that goes into meeting people, and a lot of it doesn't come to anything. It's kind of a needle in a haystack.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And you said a key word right there too. The key word is that they network. And that's the problem. That's what's happening with Facebook right now, that the older mindset, the older business owners, and I say older, I mean ones that are in their 30s, their 40s, their 50s, their 60s, but the old mindset is that, you know, we all grew up with radio, TV, newspaper, direct mail, and we can more or less measure, hey, I did this direct mail, I got X number of sales from it. And we're taking that same mindset into using social media. And that's the biggest mistake we can make. But to put it really simple, social media is a cocktail party. And I've said that for years. It's a networking opportunity. It's no different than the Rotary Club, the Kiwanis, the JCs, the Chamber Mixers. It's absolutely no different. But a lot of times what business owners want to do, and I'm not saying this is wrong, this should be part of your strategy, but we say, you know what? I'm going to hire Johnny. Who's Johnny? Oh, he's my nephew. How old is he? Oh, he's 17, and he really understands social media, and he's going to do our social media strategy. That's the biggest mistake possible. So social media should be the salesperson's opportunity to network, to communicate, to build relationships, and that's what they're missing out on. And that's what it really is it's a primer to reach more people. Because, you know, me growing up, you know, the years where I've always been in sales, my, you know, the sales manager would pound on me, get on the phone, make the phone calls. I'd make the phone calls. How many appointments do you have? I'd, you know, go run, knock on doors and everything else. And it was like looking for a needle in a haystack. But if you start using social media and being authentic and being yourself and being real, you are going to connect with people. You're going to, you know, more or less engage them. They're going to get to know you, your personality. They're going to like you or dislike you. They're going to trust you or not trust you. But the thing is, you're going to find a lot of individuals with common interests that are going to trust you. And the sale's going to be a lot easier, and it won't be a needle in a haystack.
And you can network from your couch.
You can. And, you know, one of the one of the most popular pictures on Instagram is a picture of one's feet. I don't know why I shared that with you. Yeah, but you see that.
Oh,
people are
goodness.
Like it at the beach.
There is no way I think that sharing my feet would
I just made the
excited.
Biggest eyes.
Yes,
I was
did.
Surprised by that statistic, too.
No, I mean, but think about it. People go to the beach, and they take a picture, and you see them laying on the lawn chair, and you see their feet, and you see the ocean. But anyway, that's
so
just,
I shouldn't have done this past week. Is that what you're doing? You're poking fun at me from vacation?
Yes, exactly. And say happy birthday to Samantha.
Oh, yesterday. Happy birthday, Samantha.
Thank you.
So my point is, yes, with social media, if you're doing, you know, paid social media and you're targeting individuals, as long as you have the pixel in there, you can target the performance on that, but it has to be the right social media campaign, meaning the right messaging, the right content. But a lot of times what we do is we try to take that same mentality, the way we would advertise on radio, TV, newspaper, and direct mail, and we try to put that into social media, and that's not how social media works. Or we try to get that individual to click over to our website, and that's not how it works. So social media, yes, you can generate leads. You can measure those leads through a paid campaign. But in the thought, the topic of where we talk, all the talk about social media, we automatically think about us sharing, you know, what we're having for dinner and pictures of our dog. Mm-hmm. And that's not a wrong thing. That's completely right. Because we do the same thing when we go to a Rotary Club or a Chamber Mixer. So think about what it is you do in public. You know, when you go to meet people and network, how do you act with those individuals? And you want to do the same thing on social media, because it's about building the relationships, making sure all your information is complete on your social media profile so they know what you do. And then, you know, in the morning when you come into work, you just say, this morning I'm at Miriam Insurance and today I'm working on blank. Or, you know, here's a little interesting fact. Today I'm working on an insurance policy for blank. Did you have any idea that we actually did insurance policies like this? This is interesting. It's my first. So just, you know, put what you do into your conversation, and before you know it, and make sure your phone number you post, hey, I'm at you know, Miriam Insurance this morning. If you have any questions about insurance, reach out to me, and just build it that way.
And so, the other thing is too, is, you know, engage. So every time you go meet somebody, you get their business cards at one of those mixers, make sure you're friending them on Facebook. It's something we think we shouldn't do because it's like a professional relationship, but that's going to be where you can find that needle in the haystack, but you can also build relationships. So what we forget to do is actually comment and engage and say, oh my gosh, what a great place you went on vacation is, or yada, yada, yada. That's going to be how you can cut through that clutter and all of that time you would have spent at another organization you're establishing through social channels. Like I joke, on your couch at night. That's how you can do it and how it can be enjoyable too.
Get yourself to 5,000. If you don't have 5,000 Facebook friends, you want to get there. Start adding people that are in your circle of influence you can do business with. Let them engage. Let them see what you're about and everything. And then make it point of your prospecting to just reach out to those individuals and ask them for 10 minutes of their time to do an evaluation on their insurance. It's as simple as that. So use it as a lead tool. Just don't be the cheesy sales guy. And, you know, just be a consultant and you will start selling from it. And you can say, yeah, I got blank from Facebook and this blank and this person and this person and this person. So just make it part of your networking tool, but make it part of your prospecting tool. And be sure when you sell someone on Facebook, because you can meet a lot of individuals that you would never have the opportunity to meet on Facebook, make sure and ask them for referrals.
Okay, thanks, James, for your call. I let Paul keep going because this is something he's passionate about, and I thought we were having a great conversation. But if you have any other questions, feel free to comment over on the Paul Potratz Facebook page or shoot us an email, and we'll be happy to take this conversation off air. But thank you for your call this morning.
Awesome. Thank you, guys. Have a great show, and happy birthday, Samantha.
Thank you very much. That is it for our business breakdown section of today's episode, but give us a call and let us know what your questions are, whether it has to do with your career, leadership, management, or anything related to your business. Give us a call at 855-POTRATS. That's 855-POTRATS. And don't forget, leave us a voicemail throughout the week, and we'll give you a call to feature you on an upcoming episode of The Paul Potratz Show. So we got chatty in today's business breakdown, and our action item of the week is a 60 seconds, Paul, to wrap it up. So our action item was email signatures.
That's right. So really simple. Get an email signature. There's nothing more annoying than you're trying to call someone and you don't have their phone number and you're having to search for it. So put your name in there. Put your email address in there. Put your
phone number
in there, your cell phone number, and your website.
And don't forget, make sure you have a mobile signature on your mobile device because that's where you miss the ball a lot of times, especially if you're working on the road. In today's show, we covered Instagram's milestone and how you can be more social for your business, dressing for the job you want, not the job you have. And don't forget, making sure you have that email signature. If you've missed any of today's show, you can now find every episode on the Paul Potratz website, as well as follow us along throughout the week on the Paul Potratz Facebook page. We'll be continuing today's conversation.
You've been listening to the Paul Potratz Show. Paul is the architect behind Potratz Advertising, an international consulting and advertising agency based in Schenectady, New York.
For more info or to learn how to work with Paul and the Potratz team to grow your business and improve your processes, visit paulpotratz.com. That's Paul, P-O-T-R-A-T-Z.com.
And join Paul and Samantha next Sunday morning at 11, right here on WGY.